Plateau. Verata.
I have his mojo.
Not a bat or a rat or a cat.
Ohatmu or Not covers the official handbook of the Marvel Universe Deluxe Edition, an encyclopedia series published from 1985 to 1988 by Marvel Comics. And we cover it with several panelists with little to no knowledge of the Marvel Universe, giving their first impressions of each character, its look, concept, and story. Warning, listener discretion is advised. Ohatmu or Not is a proud member of the Fire and Water Podcast Network. This is your host, Siskoid, and with me today are...
Amélie,
Isabelle,
Natalie,
Elise,
José,
Shotgun.
Mockingbird to Mole Man.
Mockingbird, Barbara Bobby Morse, graduated with a PhD in biology so she could work on helping recreate the super soldier serum, and at the same time was recruited and trained by S.H.I.E.L.D. to be a super spy. When she discovered some S.H.I.E.L.D. personnel were corrupt, she took the codename Mockingbird and collected evidence to bring to Nick Fury. Eventually, becoming a free agent, she fell in love with Hawkeye and proposed to him. At this point, they're married and serving in the West Coast Avengers together. Mockingbird is a great athlete and an acrobatic hand-to-hand fighter using battle staves hidden inside her sleeves as spring-loaded throwing sticks, unchained nunchucks, and by connecting them as a bow staff. If Hawkeye is a bit of a hothead, Mockingbird is the cool analytical one that brings common sense into the relationship. I don't remember her ever sporting the bare legs look in the main picture. This is usually, you can see in the other pictures, she's got the full legs, sometimes long hair, sometimes short hair, but never the bare legs. I don't know. Maybe they were trying something out. We see her kicking ass, using the staves as a vaulting pole and knocking a gas arrow out of the air, plus a diagram of the battle staves.
She's so
the white patch bugs me so much.
I'm having like trouble understanding the geography of her leg and her torso in that pose. And I think the white spot is part of that problem.
Yeah, because she's like half turned.
It looks like her right leg goes up to her waist. It's weird. It's not. Whoa, no.
Yeah, something's missing.
Maybe that's the reason she usually wears pants.
I do prefer the long pant, like in the pictures. I don't care for the bare legs.
I just think it makes more sense, like with the vibe, to have like pants.
Yeah. Lots of sleeves and no pants is weird.
Wait, it does seem like she forgot to put a skirt or something over her bodysuit.
Do the pants also have like a white thing inside?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what a mockingbird looks like, but maybe the plumage, maybe that mimics the plumage.
Oh, maybe.
It does feel very like, you know, like sometimes cats will have like a white belly kind of situation. Like that's kind of how it feels to me. It feels like.
It would kind of make sense because it's the same coloring to a certain extent that they use in the Hunger Games and mockingbirds, mockingjays.
Mockingbirds look a lot like woodpeckers, I find, with their feathers.
They have like white bellies, though.
Yeah, so they seem to have like a blue or purple outer and then the white bellies. So checks out. Maybe not blue or purple, but kind of gray that shines a little bit blue and purple.
So is that why this outfit is more on the purple side versus the other ones that are more like black?
Probably.
Mockingbird.
Is that the traditional mockingbird call?
She is really cool though, man. Yeah. I love the mask, actually.
Mm. I like the picture where she's pole vaulting. It's very cool. The hair looks amazing.
Oh, yeah. The hair is epic. And even with the haircut, like it seems like she still has like a short ponytail in the behind. It's hard to see with the mask, but I like it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Good flow.
But I find it hard to imagine in combat.
Sleeves. The sleeves or the mask?
The sleeves. I like them, but like, must get in the way or I don't know.
It's like if she was a long shot, like a long range fighter, fine, but hand-to-hand combat with those sleeves, I don't know, man.
You would definitely get caught and stuff, 100%.
And like I feel like the sleeves and the mask are very like bulky for a spy.
Yeah, she's not very inconspicuous.
But I guess it's a good way to have those big sleeves to hide the battle staves.
Yeah, I do love that. Because, like, it avoids having, like, a belt or something that she has to keep that stuff on and stuff like that. And, like, that wouldn't fit the vibe. So I love that she can hide the stabs in her sleeve. That's hilarious. And I feel like it would be just a very cool moment where you're just, like, shrilling. But it's, like, a thing.
I don't like the boots. I don't think they go.
Yeah, it should be a sleeker boot, I think.
Yeah, the favorite for me is, again, when she's using the vaulting pole. So those look a little better, a little less of a reverse bucket boot. The other two pictures are weird. I think it's very convenient.
It's just too much. You can have like a giant mask and ginormous sleeves and also those piratey boots.
I think it works a lot better with pants though.
Yeah.
And the sleeves looks also short. Well, not shorter, but less flappy.
Yeah.
The full length costume. So it fits better.
Maybe she's going to a sexy Halloween party as a sexy herself.
Yes.
I like that idea.
That is 100% what the main picture looks like. 100%.
Yeah, she's a sexy costume.
Halloween costume version of herself.
That's such a hilarious theme for a party.
Sexy yourself.
You don't need to invest money into it. You're just like, yeah.
It's called the club. You go as a sexy version of yourself. That's what you do.
You have to go like for real, like your real self. So you'd be like a sexy train. It's just so core to your personality.
No, okay, so
sexy train.
Please be a sexy train for Halloween, please. That would be so good.
I like trains. I am not a train. I find her boring, so I would be game with continuing this discussion.
I like her. I like that her nickname is Bobby for Barbara. That's really charming to me.
Oh, yeah.
I don't hate her. I'm just meh.
I like that she went to school for biology and then, you know, became a superhero.
That's a PhD. And not only that, she's the one who proposed. What a freaking girl boss.
Iconic.
I love that.
But the good kind of girl boss.
Do we like see the proposal like in a comic? Well, if anybody knows in the comments, I'd love to know like what she did. Like, was it like, what was the setup? That would be cool.
Tell us a story, send us pictures. We want to know.
So is Mockingbird hot or not?
I think she's hot. Yeah, I like this. I think it's cool. I'm with pants because the main picture is a little silly, but I like it.
I want to hang out with her. Like, I feel she'd be really cool to hang out with to go shopping or like go on hikes.
I think the sticks are a little bit lame, but I like her. I just feel like, what do you do with these staves?
Have you not seen the Ninja Turtles?
Yeah, I was going to say, it feels very Ninja Turtles for me, which I think I like even more.
Yeah,
They're nunchucks, they're bow staffs, and they're projectiles.
Yeah, but she's using them with giant sleeves. So she's like moving her arms around, and it's just catching, it's just ballooning as she's moving around.
Yeah, and it confuses the enemy. I love it. To me, it reminds me.
You stole me on the sticks.
It reminds me a bit also of Daredevil's tool. But yeah, I think that the main picture is ridiculous. The way her legs is drawn is stupid and crazy. I love the full length suit, and she's hot.
Halloween is the one night a year when a girl can dress like a total slut, and no other girls can say anything about it. The hardcore girls just wear lingerie and some form of animal ear. Unfortunately, no one told me about the slut rule.
Ooh.
Modred the Mystic.
Ooh.
A capable student of magic in 6th century Britain, Modred went wrong when he decided to read The Darkhold, a book of evil power. He summoned the demon Shaitan. Remember that? Shaitan?
Oh, yes.
Catan.
Catan.
Seaton.
Who threatened to take his beloved soul. So he made a deal to exchange her soul for his. Modred was then buried alive, soulless, for more than 1,000 years. When uncovered by archaeologists, he awakened with magical powers powered by Shaitan, who was hiding inside him. Though exorcised of the demon at some point, he still proved dangerous and tried to conquer England. He was stopped by Captain Britain, and Cloudbeard Merlin took him to his dimension. to re-educate or deprogram him. Modred can cast all sorts of spells, mostly dealing with the elements. He tries to be a heroic wizard when Chiton's influence on him decreases, but he's been corrupted by the demon and will commonly get your trust before betraying you without mercy. He's shown in battle with the Scarlet Witch, flinging Captain America away, reading the Darkhold, casting spells and eldritched bolts, throwing rocks at the Avengers, and simultaneously fighting Captains Britain and America.
Okay, he's sexy as hell and I'm in.
I love it too.
I'm not down with the shoes.
Oh,
I don't, they clash so much.
They're a little bit pilgrim.
It feels like he got the shoes in a lost and found. I forgot my shoes, guys.
From the 16th century.
Well, he dropped in during the witch trials that I need a memory of this.
He feels like a D&D character to me.
Yeah.
But the name too, that is very D&D.
I feel like the name is missing an R. Like, I feel like it should be Mordred.
Well, Mordred is a different person.
Oh my God, Dash. Mordred. Are we seeing him today?
No. But Mordred is from the Arthurian legends.
Oh,
so you're right.
So what he's saying right now is he wants Mordred. Maximum amount of dread. Yes. Mo dread.
Please leave.
No. And Judge Dread is like, no.
That doesn't sound like Judge Dread at all.
Other impersonations exist that are better than that, I will give you.
We don't often see outfits that have like 4 or 5 different colors
and 4 or 5 different style.
I but like it
for
though.
Some reason it works. Yeah.
Yeah.
The like symbols on his chest remind me of like 2 things. Those like moon things that people hang on their walls that are like all the different phases of the moon, and how strong my Wi-Fi signal is.
Yeah. I was waiting for that to happen. The Wi-Fi signal symbol.
That directing the Wi-Fi to its crotch.
Which obviously did not exist back then.
He invented it. But what a cape, too. My God. Yeah,
good flow. Good flow.
Oh, it's gorgeous. I like the hood and like the trim all over it. Looks so fancy.
I like it, but I feel like he was in a photo shoot trying to advantage his cape and didn't pick the best picture.
Yeah, he's gripping it in a bit of a weird way.
One of the things that bothers me the most, while like I read to make sure, and yeah, is his eyes is actually white.
Oh, that's
so
scary.
That's,
You can put contact.
That's okay.
I do appreciate like the fact that his like hood kind of, it gives the illusion that he's like wearing a mask. It feels very like Viggo Mortensen when they find him in the Prancing Pony, where like he's kind of like hidden.
Mm-hmm.
That's a cool vibe. So I'm down for that.
It's a good drawing. Like there's a lot of like movement and sort of like stylistically interesting. I feel like sometimes they're kind of a bit boring, but this one's all right.
Yeah, there's a lot of like choices made here. Like they did not half-ass it for sure.
Yeah, I find that like even like in the way they shadowed like the shirt on the arm, all the detailing and the detailing on the muscles on the thigh, like it's really good to look at.
Even the hand posture, like you can feel his anger or the fact that he's, I guess he's supposed to be a villain. Yeah. So you can feel that even just by the posture and the hand and everything. I know I love it.
Why did he read the bad book?
You know how it is. Why did Adam and Eve eat the apple?
Because the snake convinced him to. Was there a snake with the book?
I bet that's one of those books that whispers to you.
Also, it shows that you don't watch a lot of horror movies because they always read the book.
Of course.
even the good people read the books.
The Darkhold is essentially Marvel's Necronomicon. You know, those books want to be read.
I see.
And maybe, you know, it changed itself, the cover, to fit what he wants to read about. So if you pick the bad book, it would talk about politics and you'd be like, ooh, and then start reading it.
I thought you were going
to go to trains.
I like to imagine that he was like, oh, a Cosmo.
15 ways to blow his mind. I'm in.
write that somewhere. We need to make a movie of it. It'd be funny.
Is Modred the Mystic hot or not?
Did you see the way he drew his butt?
Yeah. He is hot, but he's not a good person. But also, that hasn't stopped us before. So.
No, but aren't they trying to reform him?
Yeah.
And maybe we can fix him.
It was a sacrifice originally, right? So, I mean, he at some point, he was a good person somewhere.
Yeah, he's struggling. He's just like Angel in Buffy, or you know, struggling with the loss of his soul.
He might be evil. I'm not going to try to make him better. I'll just become evil with him. And
yes.
I'm a sucker for long white hair. I'll give him some colored contacts and it's all good.
Yeah, I'm going to blame my Witcher finish on
Yes.
Absolutely.
This path will lead you to an unholy place. When thou retrievest the book from its cradle, you must recite the words, Klaatu Verata Nictu.
Klaatu Verata Nictu, okay.
Well, repeat them.
Klaatu Verata Nictu.
Again!
I got it! I know your damn words, all right?
Oh, no.
Can we go back? In a now famous episode of Uhatmu or Not, the one where we covered Longshot, you guys had a lot of fun with the notion that his dimension was run by literally spineless bags of shit.
Oh my God.
Mojo is the main shit bag.
Wow.
That world's ruler and biggest movie producer. He's fascinated by humans and their potential as slaves and movie characters. And if he loses a battle, don't worry. He's made sure he's got footage of the battle he can show his fellow shitbags. He sees himself as a true artist and would never use the same plot twice. Like other shitbags, he has a cybernetic spine and transport platform so he can get around. It has legs and hands, but it can also fly. He also has various magical powers. He can alter an opponent's metabolism to heal them, but also age them. He can control minds, fire kinetic blasts of energy, and when in our dimension, disrupts the weather around him.
Is this the first time we see a nipple?
In Uhatmu, it may be. They could not erase this one.
Can we go back one character? I don't like this anymore.
No.
Everything about this is just unsettling.
It's just, yeah. It can fly like a bird?
No, like a flying saucer.
Yeah, like a bird. That's terrifying.
I really wish he didn't actually look like a bag and that you hadn't said shit bag so many times.
Like, why are you calling it a shit bag? Is it actually how they describe themselves?
No.
Oh, okay.
In the long shot episode.
If I read, it says the spineless ones.
They are spineless. And they're jerks.
And they look like this.
The top 1% using slaves, genetically engineered slaves, shitbags. Then you guys just went to town on it. So now now we say shitbag a lot. Now it's a drinking game.
Okay, so imagine this. You know that between the legs, there's like a little light switch thing?
Oh, is it to turn him on?
I don't want to turn him on.
No, I want
to power him down. And
does he only have 4 fingers? I don't know why this bothers me this much, but it really bothers me.
The mechanical legs just remind me of Wild Wild West, and I never want to be reminded of Wild Wild West. It's just too spidery. I don't want that. No,
I hate it. By the mother and Caroline,
Coraline.
Oh, yes,
Coraline. Yes, or the director in Monsters Inc.
A
lot of shitbags.
And there's something like visually confusing about like his hands. Like that should not be this dude's hands.
They're too long.
I feel everything, the proportion is weird. Like that head is tiny. Also, if they're the 1%, why can't they get exoskeletons that fit? Because that's a serious muffin top.
It's hard to engineer, I guess.
I just love the little hands. Like there's the spider legs and then there's like two little hands.
It feels like an overkill and not necessarily useful since they already have hands.
Well, I didn't picture them having arms when you were talking about shit bags before.
That's a sentence. Okay.
I had to keep a little mystery in these.
I didn't even know they would have an entry.
I wish you would have kept the mystery forever. Yeah, we wouldn't have to entry. Look at this ever.
What is that big thing behind him that's like going up?
It's spine. And also it probably is a gun.
Oh, great. Combination spine and gun.
I don't know why, but the little bit of colors there is on his head. It makes me think of a jester hat. Probably because this thing is a fool.
I honestly originally thought it was hair. I was like, what's happening here?
I'm having trouble sort of processing the face at all. Where is the face?
Please don't zoom in.
What a lovely
Oh my god, he's firing it! No!
Oh, yeah. Oh, now I understand the face and I regret it.
His face is so small, though. It's very weird, like confusing.
I thought it was another chin, but no, it's
thanks for zooming on the fake penis, Mike.
Classy.
You see why I thought it was hair though? Because it's just like connected to his brain? Question mark.
Yeah.
It looks like a Texas Chainsaw Massacre kind of stretched out skin face situation.
Oh, I don't like it at all.
No.
I preferred it from afar.
I'm surprised because
You thought we'd love this dude.
No, but usually when there's like some sort of monstrosity and everybody reacts badly, Isabel likes it anyway.
This is too monstrous, or maybe not monstrous enough.
Movie director, you know, it's got all your interests.
Do they talk?
Of course. Look at the mouth.
No, we don't want to.
I don't want to.
Zoom out.
He has great teeth, if I can give him at least that. At least I'm assuming teeth. Maybe it's just a hole. I don't know.
You don't like the yellow glowing eyes?
Yeah, the eyes are scary.
Okay, I have a question. How many awards has he won for his films?
Good question. He's the top boss of that dimension, so I think he wins all the Oscars, but also
is it corruption?
Also, I feel like he's a Michael Bay though, so I don't know. It is corruption, yes.
Notice that he's on the red carpet as we speak.
And then the first is like, "What are you wearing?"
Mojo, hot or not?
Obviously not.
Last chance.
Dear fucking God, no.
Ew. I'll never give him a chance. No, thank you.
No.
No, unless his movies are actually very good.
I only go out with shit bags when they look hot.
That's good. Words to live by.
I mean, you can be both, right? Like, you're gonna be a bad person. You also can't be traumatically scary like this guy.
Keep forgetting he's called Mojo.
Yeah, that's gross in itself. Oh
my god, please change the picture.
Mojo, the libido, the life force, the essence, the right stuff, what the French call a certain I don't know what.
Crikey, I've lost my mojo!
Mole Man.
Oh!
The first villain faced by the Fantastic Four, Mole Man, was bullied for his appearance and height as a boy, and at some point decided loneliness was better than cruelty and tried to find the inner earth of legend. He found a way in through the Bermuda Triangle and soon became ruler of Subterranea and its race of moloids. In his war with the surface world, he's used ancient technology found buried in the earth by the deviants, giant monsters, and moloid armies. Living in complete darkness, he's developed heightened senses, not unlike Daredevil's. He still needs special glasses, not to be blinded by surface light. He has a wooden staff in the main picture, but usually employs a metal one that can fire electricity, fire, light, and shockwaves. He's a bitter pill, but has mellowed over the years. Before, he wanted to take revenge on the surface. Now he's more about protecting his realm and is sympathetic to others who were rejected by the world. Shown with moloids behind him and destroying some kind of Disney mascot creature. I don't know what's happening there.
Oh, yeah, the gloves are very Disney.
Yeah.
Even the ears.
Some sort of Goofy. Oh, no.
I want the staff, though. I could use that in public.
I was going to say, say where?
I don't know, in a crowd, if I want to get out, at the mall, at Christmas, like, move out of the way, coming through.
I kind of like the underground thing. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I'm kind of digging his... that was totally accidental. I'm digging his storyline. Like, I like the idea, it was like, fuck it, dig to the center of the earth.
I relate with loneliness is better than cruelty.
That's fair.
Yeah, this is one of those villains where it's like, I get it, dude. You know, because sometimes it's like you're just like incredibly mean to be mean or whatever, but like I can kind of understand why this would happen. Like, it's not justified, but I get it.
Yeah, and he's a way better person than I am, where he eventually forgave the surface.
Amelie holds grudges forever
against the surface.
How does the children will have the grudges from her?
They're generational grudges.
You wrote the grudges in your will.
Yes. Yeah, we hate them.
Yes. Timmy, you will hate Julia for the rest of your days.
I find the costume a bit odd for underground. Like, I thought it would have been more, I don't know what I expected, but not this. I find it very pajama looking.
It's a shorter version of what Doc Ock was wearing, but with a kid's cape.
You would think it would be more like browns and beige and stuff too, honestly. Well, I'm surprised that it's green.
Why do you need such a big collar if you're under the earth?
Why would you need one on the surface?
Yeah, that's true. No, but I guess this collar, like, it'll hit the whatever's on top of you before your head will. So, like, that would be useful in, like, knowing, oh, I'm close to hitting my head.
Like, I mean, sure, whiskers. But it would also catch all of, like, falling rocks and dirt just in your neck.
And funnel it to you.
Maybe he likes rocks in his suit.
Maybe. How does he treat the mole people?
They get their own entry later. Well, much later, subterraneans.
That's how they called?
Two races, so they put them together. So they're not under Moloid, which would be like the very next one. The way the entry says it, he's all about defending that realm, and it's not about his own property. It's like, these are his people now.
That's nice.
That's cool. I'm down with that.
That is nice.
What are the white man with loincloth behind him?
That's it. That's the subterraneans.
The mole people.
That's not what I expected as a look.
Yeah, well, imagine like mole people, you imagine they'll look more like moles, I guess.
I guess they're never in the sun, so they wouldn't.
Yeah, they'd be very pale, I guess. Mm-hmm.
They've like golemed.
Yeah, they do have golem vibes, I'm going to be honest.
Oh, I hate it so much.
I like his glasses, though, because they look like 3D glasses, and I'm digging it.
Yeah, and it's honestly just like I think that's a fun detail. Because like
eclipse glasses.
Yeah, and people like use those for like snow and stuff like that. Like I think that's a fun detail, especially because this costume is pretty plain. Mm-hmm. So it kind of like adds something to it for sure.
So there's no relation between that character and the mole man we see in The Incredibles, right?
Well, I would say it's an inspiration because The Incredibles are based on the Fantastic Four. Mole Man was the first Fantastic Four villain. So I always felt it was done on purpose.
That's fun.
I mean, he is short, but he's not actually that short.
Emily will tower him.
Like 4'10 is short, but it's almost...
Emily's barely taller than this dude.
I'm 5'1", so...
What?
Yeah.
I always think people are taller than they are.
Yeah, I am not one of those people.
He's got kind of like a mobster face.
Yes. All the like mobster characters all kind of look like this dude. And I think the hair helps with that.
Lily agrees. Yeah, I think the hair has a lot to do with that. It's the jawline as well, and like the wrinkles around the mouth. I think that's the cliche mobster boss look.
He's got enormous hands too.
Like, does he not have parents that could help him with the bullying?
From personal experience, no, that's bullshit. Why would they?
Yes, as a person who was bullied, parents don't help.
No, there's nothing they can do.
That's a terrible message to put out there. Not for parents.
All is lost.
Parents can't really do anything. I mean,
it's tough because like it doesn't happen when they're there. And then even if you try and do something, like
it helped a bit for me, but
well, like, not to stop the bullying, but to have him like not become a villain.
I think also this might be like well, it's obviously a different time, but I feel like we have like different perspectives of parenting and bullying, frankly, than probably when this came out.
Then when Stan Lee wrote this story in 1960.
There's other two other things that we need to keep in mind also. Nothing says that he actually reached out to his parents for help, so maybe he just didn't want to say anything about it. Because, you know, toxic masculinity.
Is Mole Man hot or not?
No.
I feel kind of conflicted on this one. Because, like, no, I guess. But I also kind of like him. You know, like I'm kind of in the middle where like there's some details about this dude that I really like.
Yeah, like I think I'd enjoy his stories, but I don't think he's hot.
I don't find him attractive. I find it's an interesting character.
That's the whole point. I'm here to say hot because this dude woke up one day and went, fuck the surface. I'm going to dig to the center of the earth and rule these mole people.
I gotta say,
went out and did it.
I feel like that's relatable, like right now. You know, it would be nice to just go to the center of the earth and avoid the world a little bit. Like, I get it.
Do the mole people like think he's a god?
No, so they think he's just a king.
No, but like, how did he become their ruler? It just, hey, I see you have no ruler. Would you like some help with that?
Well, it's the old story where, you know, a race of primitives are dazzled by someone who comes in with more knowledge.
Oh, see, I don't like that.
It's the colonial story.
Yeah, I don't like the cannoli.
Cannolis. You don't like cannolis?
I do like cannolis.
It's clearly a mobster. You're talking about cannolis.
Go for a cannoli right now.
Yeah, that's delicious.
I'm not a snake. I am a mole and I live in a hole.
Art credits: Mockingbird by Cynthia Martin, Modred the Mystic by Stan Walk, Mojo by Art Adams, Mole Man by John Byrne. So that was the end of issue 8, so we can look at that cover by John Byrne, people racing from left to right that were in the issue. What were your highlights for issue 8? And I'm showing you the cover with the names under each character because I know it's been months since we started.
I remember none of them.
Yeah, I have no idea who any of these people are.
And then also missing are a number of characters. We don't see Magus, Dr. Carl Malice, Manape, Mantis, Marina for some reason. I think that's insane because she's a John Byrne created character and John Byrne did not include her on the cover.
And she's Canadian.
Also the Master, who's an Alpha Flight villain, also a John Byrne creation, not on the cover. What the hell's going on? Master Order, Mayhem, Merlin, and Mojo did not make the cover.
Aww.
I mean, I get not putting Mojo on the cover. If I had to cut somebody.
But they put Mandrill. Don't you remember Mandrill? Pheromone monkey face?
Oh, yeah.
Pheromone monkey face.
Looking at this cover, the only one I remember is a nice hip devil person.
Yeah, did you see the bulge on Mephisto here?
I mean, it keeps on giving.
Oh my god.
Yeah, Mephisto still looks great. And Man Thing looks great, frankly. I love Man Thing.
Look at his eyes. Oh,
I would adopt Man Thing based on that picture.
I love him so much.
Yeah, no, he's just
such a Muppet.
Ew. Yeah, he looks 100% like a Muppet, even more than before.
My Snuffleupagus, fiance,
right?
He's, yeah, 100% Snuffleupagus. There was a period of time where my fiance would take pictures of me walking away, and every single one of them, I just looked like I was a Bigfoot, you know? Be like,
yes!
Caught in the moment.
He really has that I'm Bigfoot posture. And I appreciate that because I relate to it. Apparently that's how I walk.
That's so funny. I feel like Medusa should have been more on the forefront. Is it just me?
I do like the hair motion though.
Oh, it's great.
A girl that we just saw with the mask.
Mockingbird.
Did she have that much cleavage in the other picture?
Oh, I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
No.
Go back.
This is like a square neck. And if you go back, I think it's more of a sweetheart. It looks more like a sweetheart neck to me here.
I guess she's bending forward also, so you know.
But they still didn't give her pants. Give her pants.
No, it's the same costume, yeah. It looks like she has a rat tail there.
It did kind of look like a rat tail the other place. I didn't want to say anything.
It looks more like just like a small ponytail, but I don't love that.
You know what? It's probably like really... What era is this?
Mid-80s?
So that like super feathered out hair where like the ponytail would look like a rat tail because the top is very voluminous, but the bottom is just like super thin and feathery.
That makes sense.
Makari? It looks like if he's walking or running on...
Mr. Fantastic's arm.
Yeah.
But he's not that small.
There is something uncomfortable about the fact that Mr. Fantastic is just like stretched for 3 issues. Like, I don't love that. I don't know why that makes me uncomfortable.
We don't know. Maybe it's 4.
Yeah, it could be more.
I don't like how, like, in the front, his leg, you don't see any sign of his leg after you get past people. I just wish you could see, like, a little bit of it or something.
Oh, no,
it's on the next issue.
No, it isn't. Look.
You should be able to see it.
The knee is behind Mockingbird, and then back down.
There's a foot.
There's a foot, yeah.
Hey,
this is like a search and find book.
I spy.
Marvel Girl looks great, though. That's nice.
Oh, yeah. As always.
She's got nipples going on.
Woo! She does have nipples. Yes.
This is the nipple issue.
Finally, they broke
don't zoom in too close on Mr. Hyde. That was disgusting.
We said don't.
So great power comes great responsibility, Mike.
No one wants the spit, man.
Yeah, he really has still that spit.
Yeah, I guess my highlight would be Mephisto because he really blew me away. The other is like I knew I would love Medusa from the moment, and it makes sense. And the same for Marvel Girl, but Mephisto, that surprised me, and it's still surprising to me.
I feel like Mr. Fantastic was redeemed for me in this issue because when we looked at the Fantastic Fours, I was just like, meh, boring, but I liked him. I liked the drawings here.
Oh, Merlin.
He's not on there.
I loved Merlin.
Yeah, Merlin was great.
If you guys remember on the episode with Merlin where we, the female bag on the episode after Merlin where we talked about the dunce hat and all of that. And then Isabel said she'd use it later as a fun fact. The other day I told her to use it and she said, what fun fact about the Merlin hat? Yep. I was like, I knew you'd forget.
I retain nothing.
Imagine a state where reality is a dangerous concept, where every aspect of public and private life is strictly controlled, where the voice of the state is the only voice and the only limits are that of the imagination. And even that is gone. Imagine a state where memories are wiped away, leaving only traces of the past, where the final frontier of space becomes a weightless freezing vacuum, except for what is useful to the state. A great intergalactic state of hundreds of planets that stretches across the universe called the Federation. And imagine all that stands in the way of total conquest is a tiny band of thieves, smugglers, embezzlers, murderers, and rebel rousers. Are they criminals or liberators? Reality is a dangerous concept, but everyone interprets it in a slightly different way in Blake 7. Welcome everyone to Straight Out of the Federation. You can listen to this podcast at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, write to us on Twitter at SO Federation, or the website blake7.libsyn.com. Email us at writeonnetwork@gmail.com. That is WRIGHT onnetwork@gmail.com. Take care, everyone.
Female bag.
Female bag.
Sorry.
We're looking at episode 76, Mirage, Mr. Fantastic, Mr. Fear, and Mr. Hyde. Let's start with Mirage. Kurt Anstad questions whether it's appropriate for a newish character like Mirage to get as many pages as Mr. Fantastic was there from the beginning. I guess it's mutant mania. And of course, the power section goes out of control because of all the Valkyrie stuff.
The number of pages has always been a bit weird. Like we've had that before where it's like, a really important character has like one page and then
or none.
Yeah.
Who was it?
Black Panther only had one. Iron Fist never appeared.
Iron Fist, right.
On that topic of the Valkyrie thing. Goosebumps Hendrix had this to say. It says Mirage becoming an honorary Valkyrie was an interesting development for her character. As there is no origin of the Valkyries in the lore, this doesn't contradict anything. In fact, it made me think of how it could work. You see, there are four destinations for the dead in the Norse worldview, two of which, Hel, where most souls go, and Niflheim, the realm of the dishonored dead, have no bearing on this discussion. The honored dead go to one of two places, Valhalla and Fólkvangnir. Most are familiar with Valhalla, Odin's hall, where half of all the heroic dead are taken to fight and feast until Ragnarok. Fólkvangnir, ruled over by Freya, is where the other half of those dead go, but also where the other honored dead, including women, go. As we know, there were Norse women who fought to defend their homes, if not in actual battles. If the Valkyries are made up of some of those women, chosen mutually by Freya and Odin, then having Mirage join them makes sense. She's already a warrior, and it could be that the horses act like Green Lantern rings and choose a worthy person. Brightwind would have seen her potential and acted to bring her into the fold.
That's that idea.
That's pretty cool.
I want a winged horse to look at me and be like, you're not worthy.
Martin Gray isn't as enamored of the Norse connection and says she was the standout character in the original New Mutants. Sadly, as Siskoid made clear, her co-creator Chris Claremont liked her too much and overloaded her with nonsense such as the Valkyrie business. Jason here says, you guys were wondering why Mirage doesn't wear the standard X-Men uniform belt with the X belt buckle. In her very first appearance, when she dons the school uniform for the first time, Professor X asks her why she's not fully in uniform, and Mirage defends the changes she made to the uniform, the belt and the boots, as being from her heritage, that she's expressing who she is, and if he doesn't like it, she'll leave. He relents.
Wow!
He relents.
That's awesome.
This is a very proud and strong personality. I always thought she was cool.
Go for her.
Kick ass.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And Lizanne Oswalt questions her fear of bears, since the bear spirit is a positive one in Native American cultures. She also says that she is part Native American and wears a bear tattoo because it signifies power and strength, while Mirage looks like her cousin Christy and used to wear, if not the feathers, beads and moccasins just like this. So the portrayal isn't as stereotypical as some might imagine.
It's cool.
Mr. Fantastic, Chris Franklin complains, other than...
extra, read all about it. Chris Franklin complains.
And this is the complaint. Other than the main hero shot, every single image of Mr. Fantastic was by John Byrne. I think there are enough panels there that they could have included some shots by other artists. I would like to see the girls' reactions to co-creator Jack Kirby's early lanky read and his later buff action hero version.
I would have loved to see the lanky version.
I think we would have liked them, if not more.
Is this for the next special?
Lizanne Oswalt wonders if Reed Richards' appearance was based on the professor in Gilligan's Island. But that show started some years after Fantastic Four number one. Nick Vector to the rescue, telling us artist Alex Ross based Mr. Fantastic on that actor in the Marvels series. So maybe that's where Lizanne's thought come from. Martin Gray says Mr. Fantastic is hot as drawn by Jerry Ordway here, but he stinks of tobacco unless his pipe is filled with unstable molecules. It's true that we don't see a lot of smoking superheroes, but Mr. Fantastic,
you see smoking
smokes a pipe.
Villains.
Yeah, but smoking a pipe is more of a hero thing, like an action scientist thing.
I would have issues with that, though. That's true.
Yeah. Like,
I cannot handle it at all.
I like the smell of cigars.
Same.
Pipes?
Yeah.
I don't think
sorry
I've ever,
for all like, the pipe smokers out there.
I don't think I've ever
smelled a
been
pipe?
Around a person smoking a pipe.
Okay. My dad used to smoke pipes before I was born. And at some point when I was a kid, I found the old pipe and just the pipe itself, the smell was... Yeah.
Mr. Fear, let's look at him. Chris Franklin says, Mr. Fear does have a pretty cool look. What?
Sorry, Mr. Fear. Sorry. I know we've been through this, but
somebody actually sang that Kurt Onstad in the comments sang a Mr. Fear, a Mr. Plow riff on Mr. Fear.
No, well. No. I was singing Mr. Clean.
No, that's not what you were singing.
No, you were singing like Spider-Man.
Yes, yeah. It was Spider-Man.
Maybe all of those are the same song?
No,
they're similar.
That name Mr. again
Clean,
is Mr. Fear.
Mr. Clean, Spider-Man.
It's similar.
Anyway, Mr. Franklin. Says Mr. Fear does have a pretty cool look, but Marvel seemed to be full of these just a costume characters, as Siskoid put it. I think it's ultimately why their rogues in general aren't as memorable as DC's in many ways, Fantastic Four and Spider-Man villains aside. Mike Dynas sees it differently, actually. He says, I love villains that were just about the costume. Jack-O-Lantern and Hobgoblin, sometimes the same person, were a couple of my favorites. I think it's my tendency of liking variations on a theme. So, of course, I like Mr. Fear. It's all about branding for villains. Please correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Hobgoblin start a business where he sold costume identities to thugs in Spider-Woman not long ago? So you could pay to become Mr. Fear or the Eel or the Grizzly, etc., and get all the gear plus costume.
I love that.
It's a good business.
That's a good business model.
And for creators as well, because they don't have to make up a new character. Eric says, interesting that this episode featured two fear-generating characters with Mirage using her powers for good and Mr. Fear for evil. A nice bit of alphabetical serendipity. One detail of Mr. Fear's origin that the ladies might appreciate, and I did send you those panels earlier, not only did he discover his fear gas by accident, while working on a completely different villainous scheme, he discovered it when his cat knocked over the chemicals, relatable, and the fumes made him temporarily terrified of his cat. In his origin story, there are these great panels, beautifully drawn by Wally Wood, showing him cowering from this adorable cat and crying out, "Stay back, kitty, don't hurt me." Again, relatable. Amazing to think that of villains owe their start to a cat knocking stuff over. And Jonathan Riddle comes up with an alternative name for him, given that origin. Scaredy Cat.
Yay! He did it!
And if we look at Mr. Hyde, Martin Gray says Mr. Hyde is a horrible brute who has nothing going for him beyond moderately decent tailoring.
That's what we agreed upon, yeah.
An amusing find I showed you guys this week.
I
will put it in the image gallery at fireandwaterpodcast.com like the rest. It's the original ink job for Mr. Hyde, in which Joe Rubenstein, apparently a known prankster, added a rage-induced puddle under the character. I guess knowing editor Mark Gruenwald would laugh and reach for the white out or something, because that's not how it appears, obviously.
Imagine if it did.
Have you ever peed out of rage? You know when you're so angry that you pee?
Rage pee? I don't know.
And that's a lot of pee, because it's going through clothing.
That's true.
In my head, the jacket is just strategically placed.
So he unzipped and put it out before? Excellent.
I think that's what happened here.
Because I'm a woman, I'm like picturing peeing like a woman, but I've just like realized that there's a penis involved. How is this stream happening?
The penis has to be out. Because there's no way that it would not being absorbed by the pants and run through
his legs.
Yeah. I was just imagining the feelings.
A woman can pee like this.
Yeah. You really need to pee.
And I found it on an auction site, so I guess people can buy this.
Oh.
This original ink.
Did you put a bid?
I don't know.
Christmas is coming up.
I don't know that it was current or anything, you know.
Perfect addition to any bathroom.
Oh my god!
I love the idea.
Marvel characters peeing in the bathroom.
Oh, that would actually be hilarious.
Well, before we go, we have to mention the Fire and Water Podcast Network Patreon page at patreon.com/FWPodcast. If you like our content, please think about making a one-time or a monthly donation to help pay for the costs of hosting all of these podcasts, the amount of which will also allow you to unlock rewards like getting on our hot list and get the girls to throw a custom compliment at you. Protect your eyes. Let's go around the table. And we've got four sponsors who need compliments. These compliments.
Who dropped us?
You, for one.
Oh, yeah. I forgot my password.
probably the inner earth, the underground stuff would be the good theme here.
Like saying that they're worms?
Nat, let's give you a sponsor, Mike Dynas.
Mike, you're not you, Mike. Other Mike. That's weird. Confusing.
Beastie
you,
Mike.
You are as hot as the core of the planet.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. I have one, actually.
Okay, shotgun for Eric.
Eric, you're the center of my world.
We're good today. I'm intimidated.
We need one for Gene Hendricks.
When you're under pressure and you form diamonds.
Pretty good.
And finally, Monsieur Luc.
Monsieur Luc, I'm attracted to you because of gravity force shit. You don't listen anyways.
Tell him exactly what you said.
End of the episode. Next time we are not opening up issue 9 right away. We are going to do what we're going to call, for now, the Long Island Iced Tea Special.
Gasp!
Which we'll look at issues 7 and 8. And see different costumes, new costumes that the characters have had since the mid-1980s coming your way in January 2022. Say goodbye, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.
We love you.
Leave us comments wherever you can find the podcast, whether the Fire and Water Network website, the Fire and Water Network Facebook page, or through Twitter. The hashtag is FWPodcasts, plural. We'd love to hear from you about, well, I guess these 4 characters and concepts, but on the show in general. Until next time, be hot, don't be not.
Can someone stop the whispering, though? Because it's very unsettling.
Amelie with the ASMR. I have not yet started my geek ASMR channel with just the dice rolling. I'm sorry.
Like a tube of lip balm, yes. but sexy.
Okay.
Lip balm, but
with strategic cutouts.
Yeah. We've trapped you, Mike. We've trapped you into keeping our content.
Sack of shit.